In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today we read from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 11. And the context of the Gospel is that the disciples in the previous chapter, they were commissioned, and they begin to see things that are beyond their understanding. Like, for example, exorcisms that they're able to cast out the demons in the name of Jesus Christ. And there come moments when the disciples, they see Christ praying while they're together. And the verse that I want to reflect on today is in the beginning of the gospel reading, when we read, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" And so this morning I want to reflect on what this was, what this moment was, why the disciples asked this question. And it's because of a righteous jealousy. It's to witness, this righteous jealousy is to witness something that is not of this temporal world. It's not yet possessed by them, and they greatly desire it. That, if I try to put myself in their place, that is what I'm thinking. That Jesus Christ, as he's praying, I'm witnessing something that is outside of this world. I don't possess it, and I greatly desire it. And so there are many righteous jealousies that we can experience or that we can witness in our lives, but the two that I want to reflect on because they're in the gospel reading for today is the jealousy of the prayer life of Jesus Christ and the jealousy of the discipleship of John the Baptist. Did the disciples not pray? We know that they did. Of course, the disciples prayed. And when they watched Jesus praying, he was praying in a way that provokes the human soul. So whatever was happening, whatever prayer that the disciples were praying and how they saw Jesus pray was different. And I love that one part that I love about this verse is that when Jesus was praying and there was this jealousy that was so provocative that they couldn't even dare to interrupt him. And it wasn't until Jesus took a pause that he ceased that then they interrupted him. And so they interjected in this moment because now in this moment they realize that Jesus, he's back. He was in a different place and now he's back with us. And humanity doesn't recognize such a spirit, because sometimes humanity gets caught up in the worldly affairs or gets caught up in how eloquent my words are in my prayer. Even the, you know, especially during that time, there was this assumption that when I pray to God that I must be able to form very eloquent words so that I can present some beautiful words for God to hear. But if we listen to if we think about the Lord's Prayer, which is usually the prayer that we, you know, like if we pray before we eat, it's the prayer that we get halfway and we start eating already. But this prayer is such a, maybe it's because we perceive it also as a very simple prayer. If we kind of summarize what the Lord's Prayer is, it's, "Father, you're worthy of glory. We wait to be with you. In the meantime, nourish us so we may do your will. Forgive us because we forgive others. Keep evil away." This is the essence of the Lord's Prayer, a very simple prayer. If we look to the lives of the monks, many of them, all they do is pray the Jesus Prayer. "Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner." And so what separates the earthly from the heavenly is whether I live and pray in Jesus Christ or not. The chapter right before, when the disciples, they cast out demons, We read, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. He rejoiced because the heavenly things were revealed to earthly men. Because they were preaching and casting out demons, all by praying in the name of Jesus Christ. Because when they prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we don't realize how much the scripture is actually missing. And this is one of the beautiful things about the Orthodox faith, is that many of the things that we have aren't from scripture. Many of the things that we have are from this oral tradition, from things that we receive. And how do we know this? Today the disciples, they said, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. How did John pray? We don't know. We don't know how John prayed. And Christ, he didn't confirm, nor did anyone make any assumption that the prayer that Jesus Christ just prayed was anything similar to the prayer that John prayed, or that he taught his disciples. Now, of course, we know that St. John, he prayed. He was an ascetic. He probably prayed more than anyone else in the scripture. This is the man of prayer, the man who was called the greatest among those born of women. Yet God didn't even reveal to us what his prayer was. And so righteous jealousy towards prayer, in essence, is when I witness a moment of Jesus Christ in this temporal world. And the way they witness it is whenever I experience my life, every moment is in the name of Jesus Christ. And why do these righteous jealousies eventually lose attraction? Is it possible that when I witness something heavenly, that the truth of that witness, that witnessing, changes? Of course, a truth, absolute truth, cannot change. And so whatever is true is true. But this righteous jealousy, sometimes these righteous jealousies can turn into the sin of jealousy when I attempt to mimic something and I don't witness the same awe as I witness in others. And so I ask myself, every time that Christ would pray, did Christ himself experience what the disciples witnessed from their perspective? The state of awe that the disciples were in, did Jesus experience his own prayer in that way? And of course not. There were times of revelation, the transfiguration. There were times when the angels came to console Christ. But many times, what was witnessed was exactly what we ourselves witness on a regular basis. A supernatural dialogue does not require a supernatural feeling or a supernatural experience. But that doesn't mean that the supernatural dialogue is not happening. And we know it was happening. And it was happening as the disciples were watching Jesus Christ and they were in awe. Because it was no longer about a certain eloquence. It was about praying from my heart in the name of Jesus Christ. That in all things that I do, it is in the name of Jesus Christ. The other righteous jealousy that we find in today's gospel is of discipleship. When the disciples expressed a righteous jealousy towards St. John's disciples, they felt that they were... Jesus' disciples felt that they were very strong, the disciples of John the Baptist. There tended to sometimes be this kind of contention, especially when Christ came and John taught the baptism of repentance, and then Jesus' disciples began to baptize in the baptism of water and spirit. And John's disciples said, look, they're baptizing. And so, yet, the disciples of Jesus Christ looked and had a righteous jealousy, even towards the people that they had, that there was contention between them. And yet he looks at them and they have this righteous jealousy. We want to learn, we want to be a disciple of you just as John gave to his disciples. And of course, those who were the disciples of St. John the Baptist were very, must have been very like committed to being his disciples and learning, because St. John the Baptist was kind of an abrasive person, right? And so he was not of a delicate nature. Nonetheless, Christ, he drew his people by his message. And it started with the righteous jealousy towards Christ that people were drawn to him. And David, he says, we read these in the Psalms, O God, you are my God, early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So we are jealous. We are jealous of Christ. We want to be like him. We want to be his disciples. We want to, we thirst for a love that we some many times we try to seek here on earth in this world. We try to find a love that will satisfy us, and it never can. So we are always longing for a love that is outside of this world. And so Christ's message drew them to him. But there's something special about the Lord's Prayer that not only drew the disciples to him because of humanity's longing for this love, but he didn't offer them just an invitation, but he offered them something even more than what the disciples of St. John the Baptist were offered. The disciples of St. John the Baptist were offered discipleship. But with Jesus Christ, he offered something more, something greater. He offered sonship. If I take the Lord's Prayer and had to choose, this is for me, but if I had to choose what is the word in all of the Lord's Prayer that is the most critical and the deepest word in the whole prayer, it is the first word, our. Our. He says, our Father. We are not only children and who can become the disciples, but we are called to be the Son in the image and likeness of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Not just to be his disciples, but that when the Father sees his Son, he not only sees his Son, but he sees all of us in his Son. St. Paul, he wrote to the Corinthians saying that he is jealous for them because he presents them to Christ as a virgin. So St. Paul, he's speaking to the Corinthians, and he's saying, I am jealous for you. And we have this practice also within the marriage ceremony that the father always anticipates giving his daughter away at her wedding, for whatever the reason. And it's supposed to be that he presents his daughter that he nourished, he treated with love, and by this he becomes jealous because his daughter holds all that her father gave to her. Everything that she has, she received it from her father. And so this is the analogy that St. Paul gives, and the same is even with God. If we remember that God himself, he says, I am a jealous God. Not because he wants all this glory to himself, but because from his perspective, from God's perspective, he loved us, he nourished us, and whenever he was ready to give us to the bride, that is to give us to Jesus Christ, who is the bridegroom, that if we were to reject, to accept that union, then the heavens themselves, they experience a loss. Because within us is desire and awe for the heavenly things, not the earthly things. And so the heavens themselves, you know, again, we always say in the prayers that the heavens always rejoice from the coming of one who repents over many who are already repentant and righteous. And so when one who is given everything that the Father has and rejects God, the Father, the heavens, they feel they experience, they witness a loss. And so we pray that the Lord always gives us this righteous jealousy as his disciples, that we may always witness the heavenly presence. To him be the glory both now and ever and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.